up to bring them in.
जय राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारी जय Gopijan Vallabha Giri Vardhari Gopijan Vallabha Giri Vardhari Gopijan Vallabha Giri Vardhari Jadanana, Jadarajana, Yashodanana, Rajajanaranjana, Yamanatira, Vanachari. Yamanatira Vanachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Hare, Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, Oh, Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Nitai Gaura Hari Bo. Nanta Koti Vaishnava Vrindaki, Namachari Shidharyasakurki, Rem Sekho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrindiki Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopina Shamakun Radha Kungiri Govardhaniki Braj Bhumi Shri Vrindavan Dhamaki Mayapur Navadiv Dhamaki Gangamai Murmaiki Samaveta Bhakta Vrindiki Nitai Gaur Premanandi. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Yeah. Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 24. Today's text 15. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Kim endaneha bhutanam shwashwa karma nuvartinam anishenan yathakartum subhava vihitam nrinam. Kim indreneha bhutanam shwashwa karma nuvartinam anishenan yathakartum Svabhava vihitam nrinam kim indrene abhutanam svasva karma nuvartinam anishenanyata kartum svabhava vihitam nrinam. Translation purport by the humble servants of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation: living beings in this world are forced to experience the consequences of their own particular previous work. Since Lord Indra cannot in any way change the destiny of human beings, which is born of their own nature, why should people worship him? Purport: Lord Krishna's argument here is not a negation of free will. If one accepts the existence of karma as a system of laws awarding reactions for our present activities, then we ourselves, according to our nature, will decide our future. Our happiness and distress in this life have already been adjudicated and fixed according to our previous activities. Not even the demigods can change that. They must award us the prosperity or poverty, sickness or health, happiness or distress due to us by our previous work. However, we still retain the freedom to select a pious or impious mode of activity in this life, and the choice we make will determine our future suffering and enjoyment. For example, if I was pious in my last life, in this life the demigods may award me great material wealth, but I am free to spend my riches for good or for bad purposes, and my choice will determine my future life. Thus, although no one can change the karmic results due to him in this life, everyone still retains his free will, by which he determines what his future situation will be. Lord Krishna's argument here is quite interesting. However, it neglects the overriding consideration that we are all eternal servants of God and must satisfy him by all that we do. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksuru Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Katamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vanshikalpatrubhischa Kripashindubhya Evacha Petitanan Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna everyone, welcome to Bhagavatam class on this most auspicious day, the disappearance of Srila Bhaktisanta Saraswati Thakur. So we have some few comments on this section in Bhagavatam, and also will be combined glorification of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Although I am not qualified, it is not a simple thing to glorify Vaishnav, and I have no qualification. Praying for their mercy, try to speak something in glorification. So, today is the disappearance, correct? Yeah. Appearance day, excuse me, the appearance day, okay. 146 years ago, Srila Bhakti Santa Saraswati Thakur. So, what an auspicious, special day for all of us in ISKCON and for Srila Prabhupada. So, this text is explaining that Krishna is continuing to give this karma mimamsa philosophy. He's saying that why should you worship Indra? You're bound to get your karmic destiny. These are various philosophies put forward. Aside from the Vedanta philosophy that we have from Srila Vyasadeva, which is actually condensed into the Brahma Sutra. Right? The Brahma Sutra are the essence of all Vedic knowledge. It begins with the Tato Brahma Jigyasa. You should inquire about the absolute truth, but it's very difficult. Someone at the door? It's very difficult to grasp these Vedantic codes. So Srila Vyasadeva himself wrote the commentary on Srimad, which is Srimad Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam is giving us the next level of theological understanding beyond Brahman, beyond Paramatma, Bhagavan. And Bhagavan himself here has taken the role of a small child inquiring from his father, why should we worship Indra? And the argument made here in the purport that even if you have karma, you still have free will. So you still have the opportunity to choose how to act based on that karma. So the soul has this limited free will. And that free will is existent in us because we are part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna has unlimited free will. We have minute free will. We can make small decisions, and that boils down to basically the desire to either serve Krishna, to surrender to Krishna, or surrender to the material energy. So this is our task in spiritual life, to always choose, in using our free will, to choose the higher road, the higher option, to choose to surrender. Prabhupada says, at any moment there's always two options, the right one and the wrong one. So this is where our spiritual life becomes very practical, when we have moments of our day, our time, when we get tested, what choice will we make? We were just at a program last night with our Kenosha Sangha. We have there a very wonderful group of devotees from various religious backgrounds. Bashir, he wanted to thank you for the deal on the vehicle. He's a very, very devoted gentleman. And we were just sharing how this is really our testing moments, when we all have those periods of our day and our time when we know what we should do. We have to have the strength to accept that which is favorable and reject that which is unfavorable. And that is a fundamental aspect of Sharanagati. But interestingly, the purport here is concluded by the commentators that this argument actually neglects the overriding consideration. So higher than this consideration is that we are all eternal servants of God and must satisfy Him by all that we do. So there are various dharmas mentioned in the Vedas. There's various principles of elevation, but they all subordinate themselves to Bhagavad Dharma.
Bhagavad Dharma is the eternal religion of the living being. It cannot be changed. This is the constitutional position. Jivera Swarupoi Krishner Nitidas. So we cannot change that, and we have to act on that position and satisfy him by all that we do. This is also the message of the Bhagavatam, that whatever you do, if it doesn't some siddhir hari toshanam give satisfaction to Hari, then it's shrama evahi kevalam. It's just a waste of time. So on this most auspicious day, we would like to examine the life of a person Bhagavat. We have book Bhagavat and person Bhagavat. Srila Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, such an exemplar, such a powerful devotee in our sampradaya in modern times. All we can do to glorify is try to relate some of his pastimes and some of his teachings and some of his instructions. So we have some very nice thing. I hope you all might be attentive, because to hear takes a little discipline. It's nice to hear stories, but to actually open our consciousness to receiving the valuable instructions of pure devotees requires some taste. And what better day today than hear from Srila Bhakti Santa Saraswati Thakur. Now, this is a very nice section. We'll read, of course, the Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Vaibhav is compiled, written by Bhakti Vikash Maharaj. And we'll look at a few sections here. This one I found particularly important. It's called Nam Aparad. So we'll read a little bit and see if we want to discuss anything. From every quarter of Bengal, the rhythmic choruses of kirtan resounded, accompanied by the clangor of kol and kartals, uplifted hands, swaying bodies, and intermittent whooping. Even young lads could quote the universally known Hare Nama verse. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama eva kevalam, kalo nastyeva, nastyeva, nastyeva gatir anyata. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. Yet, chanting was mostly undertaken not for the sublime purpose introduced by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to cultivate an attitude of selfless loving service to Krishna, but to gain piety. Widespread faith in the holy names had led to their being invoked aberrantly as mystic deterrents to epidemics, or to hasten the advent of overdue rain, using the holy name for some material purpose. And especially since Harinam eradicates all reactions to sins, kirtan mitigated people's fear of Yamaraj. And thus arose the pernicious yet persistent misconception that those who chanted the holy names need not observe common morality. Just by chanting, you don't have to follow the principles of Dharma. So sometimes we may also have some of these conceptions, you know. I'm a devotee, so it doesn't matter how I act. And I'm a devotee, so it doesn't matter if I follow dharmic principles. These are all described as pernicious yet persistent misconceptions. So they would often quote teachings from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying how glorious are the chanters. So if we're chanting, then we must be glorious. The seemingly willfully misapplied such texts to equate Shuddha Nam with Nam Aparad and liken pure devotees to deviants. Yet this was quite contrary to the actual teachings of Sri Chaitanya, who'd introduced a process meant not to facilitate perpetual sinning, but for becoming eternally free from sin. So we see this tendency that we have to try to adopt some aspect of religious teaching and use it as a license to not have to change ourselves. We see in traditions how again and again this comes up. The teacher, the founder, gives some very pristine, strict, pure teaching, and in time the followers denigrate it to something else. So we have to be very careful that this also doesn't happen to us. We don't come up with, you know, new ideas that are not authorized or not based on the texts, teachings of the Acharyas. Shastriya statements that the holy name can deliver one from all sinful actions are meant not to encourage chanters to continue sinning, but to indicate that a sincere chanter, being personally protected by the Lord, need not undergo the other means of atonement. Thus, when Lord Chaitanya redeemed the otherwise incorrigible hoodlums Jagai and Madai, he did so with the proviso that they permanently forswear all sinful activities. Because among the 10 aparadhas described in Padma Purana, to act sinfully on the strength of chanting was so grievous that far from freeing one from sinful actions, it renders the chanter unable to be purified even by hellish punishment. While discussing the need to forswear asat sangha, Srila Bhakti Santa Saraswati noted that Lord Chaitanya had underlined this principle by disowning the sweet-voiced kirtaniya Chotaharidas, thus making it clear that persons lacking good character cannot utter the holy name. So as we know, there's three stages of chanting: Namapara, Namabhas, and Nishudanam. And one who, there's a nice verse in Bhagavatam that the holy name will quickly give results, purifying the heart, awakening love of God, unless it's used for an ulterior motive. And that is the disease of the false ego, to try to use Krishna, something of Krishna, for our own benefit, for our material aggrandizement. This is that constitutes aparad. So this is something strong. Saraswati Thakur refers to Prakriti Sahaja's chanting as like that of parrots. He says, can kirtan really be considered genuine if some worthless people without any ardor for Hari Seva come together and howl? True Hari Kirtan is that of genuine devotees who serve Hari according to the principles enjoined in the Vedas and allied shastras. Kirtan is not Hari Kirtan if conducted for the prevention of cholera or pox epidemics, for prosperity and trade, or for lab puja pratishta. Such kirtan is maya kirtan. So the intention behind the kirtan is very important. As long as we remain aloof from kirtan conducted by those who hold perfect Krishna kirtan, maya will delude us in various ways. We will derive no benefit by joining the kirtan of persons not anxious for their own well-being, who hoodwink themselves. There will be no Sankirtan if we follow such people who, without receiving instructions from true Vaishnavas, imitatively decorate their body with beads and tilak and screech out some names that merely resemble Harinam. The holy name is never revealed to one in the bodily concept of life who thinks in terms of I and mine. Making a pretense of Harinam, people are waltzing their way to hell. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is known as the great preacher of Harinam. And there's different ways. One is engaging, actually, the chanting, doing kirtan. And the other is expounding the glories of the holy name and correcting misconceptions. So both are required. And the kirtan and the Harikata is considered the Swarup Shakti of the holy name. That just chanting, one can go on chanting for millions of years and not get the desired result if the misconceptions are not removed. So he spent his life endeavoring to educate all about the actual position of the holy name and the standard of pure devotion. Without taking shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Guru, there is no Harinam. Not knowing the difference between Nam and Namaparad, many persons accept mud instead of milk. Thus, it is absolutely essential to know the right object of worship. Why we should perform bhajan, which bhajan we should do, understanding this is called initiation from Sri Guru Dev. Diksha is the pastime of imparting sambandhigyan. Now, there's another aspect here, how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, as the such a preeminent Gaudiya Vaishnav, constantly referred to the devotees as message bearers of Chaitanya Dev. That a real devotee cannot be, in our line, is a follower of Lord Chaitanya in his mood and mission. So here he quotes, he clarifies the import of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila 8th chapter, which reveal that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda are so merciful that their names may be chanted without fear of committing offense. In chanting Krishna Nam, there is consideration of offense. An offender does not become transformed simply by chanting Krishna Nam, but there are no such stipulations regarding the holy names of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Simply chanting them awards love of God and tears flow from the eyes. He explained that these verses do not supply a blanket proviso for sinfully chanting Gauranam. A person infested with offenses cannot chant the transcendental name of Krishna. Even millions of lives spent chanting Namaparad will not give Krishna prema. But there is no consideration of offense in chanting the names of Gaur and Nityananda. But if the names of Gaura and Nityananda are chanted in a spirit of enjoyment, thinking that Gaura and Nityananda are meant for filling my belly, or that I will be honored as a devotee by chanting their names, or that their names are to be enjoyed by my senses according to my speculation, then vocal utterance of Gaura Gaura will not be Gauranam. Kirtan, but an illusory name intended for supplying fuel for sense gratification. There was a gang that used to perform dacoity while calling out Pran Gaur Nityananda, Pran Gaur Nityananda. But that is not actual chanting of the names of Gaur Nityananda. So these were some important principles to bear in mind as descendants of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's strict standard for kirtan. Often devotees who might sing very melodically, they might have all of the decorations and alankars, but he wouldn't ask them to sing. Rather, he would ask someone who is not musically inclined, not able to keep the pitch or thing, but they had humility and devotion in their heart. And that kirtan is more powerful, actually. And there's another section on the importance of loud chanting. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's mission was defeating these apasampradayas, those who would present contrary conclusions to the teachings of Rupa Goswami. So many deviant groups, deviant sects would come up, and by the strength of his spiritual potency, just annihilate all opposition. Now, we know the there are many glorious pastimes of his life that we hear very regularly on such days, but I thought today sometimes it's nice to also hear his teachings, because we often hear the stories. We have so many of incredible pastimes of his birth, right, his childhood, the way he was born, how he received this Jagannath garland, how he was such a preeminent scholar from his very early days. He, such a commanding presence at that time, defeating caste Brahmins, and then taking a vow, chanting, what was it, a billion names for 9 years. And after that, taking up the role and position of a Jagad Guru, or a worldwide Acharya, spreading the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So now let us lend our attentive ears to a lecture in Vrindavan delivered in 1927 during Kartik. Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada says, I have no capacity to tend the feet of the denizens of this holy place, Yet by the grace of Sri Gaurasundar and urged by your good wishes, I stand here to speak only if thereby I may serve the servants of Sri Gauranga. Indeed, if we can truly serve the feet of his devotees, by whose graceful glance alone all desires, hopes, and aims of life are easily fulfilled, then that will be a crowning achievement. We are proud of our egos. We are given either to judge sinful and pious acts or scheme how we can dominate others by acquiring power. These are all base self-glorifications. But one devoted to Gauranga says that all desires actuating every object, from a clump of grass to the highest being, Brahma, all labor for worldly possessions, all longing for enjoyment, and every kind of renunciation after satiety. Satiety are all pseudo-existent and evanescent, being subject to change in time. When we lose anything so acquired, life seems vacant and useless, yet such being the end of all enjoyments in the 14 spheres, is quite futile to try to straighten the tail of a dog. All pleasures acquired as the fruits of worldly work are transitory. And we know that this was often one of Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada's techniques called the chopping technique. There's different ways of preaching. One is to present the positive side of spiritual life, of happiness, liberation, bhakti, not necessarily bhakti in the same vein, but the bright side, the happiness that you'll get. These things attract people. But unless one's able to remove the opposite conceptions, then these can't really, generally they don't have the force to completely revolutionize one's life. So Prabhupada referred to his guru as having this chopping technique of smashing. On one hand you glorify, but on the other hand you have to remove the anarthas in the shape of material desire. So to simultaneously but if we just tell people, hey, Krishna consciousness is great, you should join, you should check it out, and we leave it at that, very little will really take shelter of that. Rather, they need to hear about how far off modern civilization is, how futile it is to try to enjoy the senses, how death is right around the corner. When you combine the two, then that message becomes that much more relevant and potent for them. So both are required, and both Srila Prabhupada and his guru would be very strong on this chopping technique, because that serves to facilitate surrender and submission to this bright side of bhakti. So often his lectures, he will throughout describe this futility of material enjoyment. Unless that's deeply ingrained in our consciousness, our bhakti will not really develop. Because in the back of our head, we're still thinking, oh, it's not so bad out there. Still, I can try to enjoy somehow or other. But when that conception is very strongly established in the heart, that it's not possible to enjoy without relationship with Krishna, without serving Krishna, until that is very clearly, then the bhakti cannot grow to the next level. So we have to hear simultaneously the benefits of bhakti and also the negative results of, in the words of Ishapanishad, the culture of nations. There's the culture of knowledge and the culture of nations. Carried away by sense perceptions of ear, eye, touch, taste, and sound, we turn into ego worshippers. In this state, the pure activity of the soul lies dormant. Then we desire pleasure in heaven. And when such ideas are strong in us, we err by identifying ourselves with this mind, which seems to be the enjoyer of the things of this world. This propensity for selfish enjoyment deadens the pure function of the soul. So the more we engage in sense gratification, the more we deaden this pure function of the soul. It's like if you're trying to make a fire and you pour ghee on it, then it doesn't go out, it increases, you know, more and more. So in this material world, so many things are tempting us here. The eye, the ear, touch, taste, and sound. We turn into ego worshippers because we're actually, rather than worshipping Krishna, we're worshipping these senses, which are products of false ego, of ahankar. So that budge, that propensity for worship is there, but to repose that in Krishna alone, that's the standard of pure devotion that he would propound again and again. But the soul knows that Sri Krishna is the one supreme absolute truth, and that Sri Narayan is the embodiment of his majesty. By his display of sweetening beauty, the transcendental designation, form, qualities, and sportive activities of Krishna excel Narayan's majesty. In Krishna, the fullest majesty is mellowed by the most delicious sweetness, Madhurya, which predominates. When we do not know all this and forget our true selves, we cannot understand the activities of a Vaishnav and the transcendental truth underlying such activities, and so give ourselves up to worldly enmity and friendship, taking things transitory and illusory to be eternal and real. Secondly, Krishna is completely all cognizant. Material objects are not conscious of their existence. God is ever existent. In error, we consider ourselves Brahman. It is only then that such useless arguments for the effacement of all supersensual diversity or variety in the absolute truth take hold of us. Then the function of the spirit is clogged and our minds race after worldly enjoyment. The materialized mind thinks that sensual pleasure is obtained at Krishna's feet. But at Krishna's feet, everything is spiritual, not objects for gratifying our senses. When truth is obscured in us who are carried away by egoistic tendencies, we take things material to be of the spirit. Krishna is bliss. In him dwells perfect joy. He is the embodiment of it. Sensory knowledge or joy is not perfect. Therein all our longings are not realized. Under the spell of sense perceptions, we imagine that there may be some alloyed happiness in ego worship or in the Kaivalya state of Patanjali. Seeking after joy is the function of the soul. When the desire for joy awakens in our minds, we commit a blunder by running after worldly objects and enjoyment. Only when we receive a spiritual sight of Krishna do we recognize that his service must necessarily be the sole aim in life. As long as we hanker after our own pleasures, we try to enjoy the world through the senses and are given to hollow argumentation. Yet this world is not made for our enjoyment. When spiritual bliss appears in us like the incessant flow of oil, then we shall be truly tied to the feet of Krishna. So in so many ways, in beautiful descriptive language, the same point is being reiterated, that which we have to try to imbibe, that we exist for the enjoyment of Krishna. That we are not the enjoyer. We are the enjoyed. And Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. So even in devotional life, we still have that ahankar which tries to put us in the center. It's still, it's about me and my enjoyment. Devotional life. So again and again, we have to keep hearing that message because it does sink in. It's like you're watering a desert, you know. What's a few drops going to do? Nothing. But in time, gradually, it moistens, it dampens, it wet, and then finally it can become fertile. So these messages are never outdated or obsolete. So I have one more little section here just to share a few nice quotes. These are some of my favorites that I found and collected. And because also they are relatively unknown, I believe, I don't think many people have heard these. So I'll just conclude the few quotes of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Very soon, 50 lakhs, 5 million people are coming who will preach Mahaprabhu's teachings all over the world. Sri Chaitanya Dev established the Bhagavad Dharma by answering the questions of innumerable philosophers. Moreover, we are trying to solve the questions put forth by the newly concocted, unauthorized philosophies opposed to Sri Chaitanya by following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Dev. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used, what weapon did he use for defeating other philosophies? He's Bhagavan, he has the highest power. How did he do it? Humility. He humbled himself before others, and by that was able to impress. So there's another quote, how... let me see if I have one on that point. No, I can't find. But this was his methodology. And that humility, oh yeah, it was how one who's very scholarly or very eloquently speaking doesn't change the heart. Rather, one who's simple but practices what they preach, that will transform. So Mahaprabhu used his humility. He has the possession of all the bhagas in full. So one of those is also humility, right? He has the perfection of humility. And he exhibited that. And by that, taking the humble position empowers. Taking a proud position diminishes one's ability. But taking a humble position empowers. So it's also related with this pastime, how Indra became proud. Why? Because of this bodily identification. The jiva soul is so insignificant, it can't even see the jiva. But when the jiva gets put into a material body, then the pride develops that now I'm so qualified. So this misidentification actually, based on the bodily situation, the pride can develop. So material opulence and these things are considered the biggest obstacles, because they diminish that humility. And then one thinks, I am very qualified, I don't need God. And Indra, the king of heaven, how much he may feel himself qualified. And therefore, such erroneous desires arise in relation to how to, you know, chastise the residents of Vrindavan. I'll just see one, a few more here. Mahaprabhu converted everyone to Vaishnavism. He made Buddhists, Paitans, Moguls, Smartas, and others give up their contrary religious systems. He brought about a spiritual change within them by initiating them into eternal Bhagavad Dharma. Sri Chaitanya's Godhead par excellence. Few people around the world know this fact. I will do whatever it takes so that gradually the people of the whole world can know Sri Chaitanya's teachings. So, on the one hand, yeah, we don't want to interfere with someone's religious system, but at the same time, Mahaprabhu brought everyone into this Vaishnava Dharma and culture, which is more or less the intact feature of religion, whereas other systems are a little bit more unintact. Okay. This is nice. If one worships the Supreme Lord constantly with love and devotion, he will never be covered or thrown by Maya, but the worship has to be continuous. If there is a little gap in the continuity, then Maya's covering potency takes advantage of it and covers us. So these little gaps, this is when Maya, it says, Maya takes advantage and covers us. So someone was saying this nice motto, closing the gaps. It's continuous. Ahoitukiya pratihata. That's the nature of bhakti. We have to glorify Hari. Mahaprabhu taught us Kirtaniya Sada Hari. The word Sada indicates there is no gap of time between performances of Kirtan. The human beings have no other duty, no other work, except to glorify Hari at each moment. We have to glorify Hari even to the animals and birds. If fools call us crazy or ignorant, it does not matter. This is a very powerful practice when we see our whole life as the glorification of Hari. Chaitanya Dev's teachings are so great that all other topics of all the great persons of the world are and will always be dim before them. There is no doubt about this. All scripture, all great personalities, all acharyas, and all the world's preachers have more or less tried to describe the Lord, but they could not do it properly. It goes on. There's so many. Unfortunately, we don't have the time. Let's see if we conclude with one more. This is a nice one that you might like. Those favored by God find their path set with thorns. And life is for the glorification of topics on Hari. If that is stopped, then what need is there to carry on life? Physical illness with Hari Bhajan is preferred to physical fitness without Hari Bhajan. Our span of life on earth is short. Our life will be crowned with success if the body wears out well with constant discourses on Hari. So a very tireless, fearsome Simha Guru, lion-like preacher of the glories of Hari Katha and the holy name. And it behooves us on this day to take some special time to appreciate and meditate on his transcendental qualities, virtues, and mercy and compassion, and the reason that we're all here today. Srila Bhakti Santa Saswati Thakur Maharaj Ki. I'll see if any comment or question for a few minutes.
One of the incident in Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj's lifetime, you remember that how he took a vow not to eat mango anymore. So we learned that how, you know, even he was a very small boy, but he realized that I made an offense. So then the whole life he didn't take any mango. At all. So there's a great things we have to learn. Sometimes we are committing some offense, but we are forgetting. Next moment, we are forgetting. Because, you know, that also another thing. One more thing also, we can see how Bhakti Siddhanta was so strong. Like when his Guru Maharaj, Gaurikishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he departed. Then at that times, so many others, you know, they were sahajas, they were claiming, oh, the body is, you know, we'll do this, that. That time, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was so strong that he asked, if anybody has observed any celibacy, they can come and touch my Guru Maharaj for at least 1 year. Then nobody came. Then at least 6 months. Then at least 1 week, nobody came. Then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, he picked up the body of Gaurikishore Das Maharaj by himself. That's very nice. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, one incident, he was requesting Gaurikishore Das Maharaj so much, please come with me, I will take you to Calcutta for your eyesight. Because his eyesight, he was diminishing, you know, he was not able to see. And Gaurikishore Das Babaji Maharaj refused. No, I don't want to go for any treatment. Although Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati requested so many times and prayed. And recently I was hearing Prabhupada was giving one lecture that you told that very nice point, that although Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Sathakur was so learned, so educated, but however, you know, his guru was Gaurikishore Das Babaji Maharaj was very illiterate, you know, but how he accepted, you know, him as a guru. But sometimes, so therefore in Krishna Bhakti, there is no need of any education and no need of, you know, any so-called requirements like a, for example, Prabhupada explained that how even if anybody comes to Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj to ask something about any intricacy of philosophy, he used to say, he gives very nice answer. Mm-hmm. Although he is not, he had not studied so much. Dadati buddhi jagam jena vama upadate. And yeah, Krishna's devotee, they get the intelligence by Krishna himself. So,
Jai.
Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for your class. You made so many nice points and points you read. One of those references I want to get after class. But I really loved your point. I don't know if I could formulate a question, but if you'd like to expand on it, but I really loved your point of saying there are two things have to take place in our spiritual life, not just glorifying Krishna, but removing the artha. So basically, I appreciate that there's always two aspects of spirituality. We glorify and rectify. We should glorify God and rectify our desire to be God. And you were saying otherwise, use the word growth. We cannot grow. Our bhakti will not grow without these two forms of spiritual life. And that immediately reminded me of the Brahmananda verse. Brahmananda, Brahmite, Kono, Bhagyavan, Jiva, Guru, Krishna, Prasadi, Poi, Bhakti, Lata, Bij. That whole scene where Sri Chaitanya is explaining to Rupa Goswami is that he says the same thing, two aspects. We should water our seed of bhakti, and at the same time, we should remove the weeds. Now, my main point, I kind of related this to the Bhakti Siddhanta situation, is that you were mentioning that even in devotional life, you know, the tendency is try to enjoy, you know, even our practices to be honored as God. And so we see this is a thing throughout the Bhagavatam where there's two kinds of personalities. Those who perform the austerity of respecting others, and those who perform austerities to be respected by others. And so we see, look, Prahlad, he performed the austerity of respecting others. Now, who will respect somebody who tries to throw someone off the mountain? Prahlad did, and it led his elevation. Look at Hiranyakashipu, what type of austerities did he perform? He was buried under the ground. He was on his tippy toes. His skin got eaten by ants. His name means one who loves money and women, but he was willing to give up sex and money, live the life of poverty just to be glorified as God. And so, so if I were to relate this to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, we see, or one last point I'll make is that we see politicians do the exact same thing. They perform so many austerities at the university. But what happens in the end? When they don't perform the austerity of respecting others, what happens? They're put in prison. So we see, what is the use of attending Harvard without humility? Princeton without principles? Yale without yielding? And Stanford without standards? Bahu jama kare yadi shravanam kirtan tabutana paya krishna padi primadam. You indirectly or mention this verse, not, but this verse is from Adi Lila, chapter 8, verse 16. It describes Namapurai. You read about Namapurai. It describes, we could perform the Hare Krishna austerity for millions of birth, but if we do not perform the humility-producing austerity of Trinadapi Sunni chain, or Prabhupada mentions this in this purport, then what happens? Then we leave Christian consciousness, or we don't have a taste in Christian consciousness. And so I'll just relate this to a quote of Bhaktisiddhanta in the Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav. This is a nice pastime. This chapter is called Guru-Disciple Interactions. I believe it's in the first volume. And basically in that chapter, it describes that some of Bhaktisiddhanta's disciples were fighting and criticizing each other. And so it's described that Bhaktisiddhanta would force his disciples to perform humility-producing austerities. And what was that? It says that he would have his disciples publicly glorify and praise each other. And so we could see that you could chant so many rounds, we could perform so many holy names, but just to glorify somebody, just to appreciate others, we see without it, you leave your Christian conscience, you just commit aparad. So anyway, that's one aspect of the point. Maybe you could share if you like, but that's what I like about Bhaktisiddhanta.
That's beautiful. That's such a divine way to reconcile the differences. And when we ever also feel that way towards anyone, this is a very quick solution to get over it. Just glorify them. Okay, Srila Bhakti Santa Saraswati Thakur Maharaj ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Today we'll have a program beginning at 11:15. Kirtan, Pushpanjali, Arti, and then Prasadam. Hare Krishna.